Welcome, everybody. This is Nia. And for this particular series, I'll say, this will be my more motivational series, I think, that I would like to post. And it's about, always, it's going to be about don't stop, keep going. Don't stop, just keep going and trust the process. I did a trust the process video a couple of years ago, and I want to kind of revamp that version because trusting the process is just is the only way your business and you personally are going to grow. You have to trust the process, and you're the process. If you are trying to get from point A to point B, you have to trust that you're going in the right path because it feels right and everything falls into place. You, with you personally, with you, and it's not just there's nothing outside of you. There is nothing outside of you. It's all within. Everything that you see outside of you is what you created. You created your own reality. So if you don't like the reality you created, the only person who can change it is you. Period. You can't look to someone else to make your life better if you aren't okay on the inside. And you have to be okay on the inside with you first. Everything else is a projection of you. You know, I see a lot of garbage on social media today telling men how to treat women, how not to treat women. A lot of relationship advice from people who believe that they're qualified to give relationship advice with no background, just personal experiences. And making just the most random kind of statements, acting as if they are quote unquote healed, that their relationships are all perfect, or that the relationships are all messed up, whatever the case may be. But a lot of people are giving advice with only personal experience, sharing their personal experience, but they're projecting. Telling us women we want the soft life, telling us women we want to be boss babes, telling us women how we need to detach, telling us what to do. And then men telling us what we shouldn't do and how we should look at men. And like, there's a lot going on that's got a lot of people all messed up. And you have to decide at some point, when do you turn all of that off and look inside and say, okay, this is who I am. This is how I see my life. This is where I see I need improvement. And this is what I need to work on. And then work on it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And when people declare things to me, particularly when it comes to weight, certain women who are a bit more overweight, I'm not going to have this right now. You know, I'm trying to lose weight. Or I did my walking today. I tried to, you know, I'm working on losing weight. And I'm like, oh yeah, me too. I just decided not to drink soda and to get my belly down. Oh, you don't have a belly. In my mind, I do. It hasn't stopped anything, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, I need to exercise. Then I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And I'm not sitting around just leaning around doing nothing. I'm walking on my feet all day. I'm always constantly moving. But to them, I look a little thinner than they are, and I am. But if you continue to do the same thing, I'm still drinking the soda. I'm still drinking the wine. I'm still drinking and eating what I want. I'm just not overdoing it. I don't eat fried foods like that. They're like, oh, well, you know, you aged really well. That's because I don't eat shit that's going to come out on my face. But my face still gets dirty. I have to keep it clean. I got dark circles. I don't get enough sleep. It's all visible. I can see I drink a lot of coffee. I can be dehydrated. I can feel it in my lips. I got to drink water. Right? No amount of exercise is going to change that. It's my eating habits that will affect me exercising regardless. And me eating and exercising don't go hand in hand. So I don't even couple the two together. But when people are like, yeah, I need to start exercising. I joined the gym. You joined the gym. Okay. You don't know how to exercise at home. So you had to spend money to lose weight. That's the first thing. I have a gym. I have a gym in my apartment community. I bought myself a $150 bike. I'm looking at the bike as I record this. I probably might get on my bike. I might not. But it's not going to stop me from having a nice little cocktail a little later. That I don't equate, that I don't couple the two. So I don't project. And when people project, it's like, well, they're trying to, I don't know, get their lives together or trying to lose weight or something like that. And the membership that they have and then buying weights at home. And I didn't buy, I think I got my weights before I went to the, I have had my weights for years. And I use them, right? I use them. But now I have a gym that I can go to in my apartment complex. That was one of the reasons why I moved into the apartment complex, because I have a gym I go to. I don't understand how people have a gym in their apartment complex and pay for a gym membership. Like, that's a waste of, as a financially intelligent person, that's a waste of money. Because you're paying for two things, the gym membership and then the apartment community gym, which you're paying for. In the amenity fee. And you still haven't lost weight? No. Doesn't work that way. So telling me about going to the gym is useless. Because if you're still fat or overweight or not where you want to be, it's because it's easy to tell me. I don't know, maybe I look like I got it all together or whatever. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be like, oh yeah, I'm hitting that gym three times. No, I don't do that. I'm not project. That's not my reality. So my point is that you create your own reality. If you're not living your dream life, why not? You can. All you have to do is make a decision and trust the process. All you have to do is make changes in your life and trust the process that it's all going to work out, or it's all going to go to hell. It's only two ways. It's going to work out or it's going to go to hell. So if it go to hell, okay, you've been in hell. Okay, so how are you going to get yourself out? And if you live with someone, married to somebody, got a boo thing, got a boyfriend, y'all, they can't solve your problems. They have their own shit to deal with. They can't solve your money problems long term. You think they can, but there's a price to pay for that. They can't solve your personal problems. You think they can because they might be emotionally supportive, whatever. But if you're constantly dumping on someone and you believe that that's okay, that you're going to alienate people because you can't solve a problem. You're helpless. I saw this stupid thing on the line where the women are like, be helpless to men and act like you can't do shit so they can't depend on you. And I get where it comes from. But that's a life choice to be in a relationship. And we know relationships can be very codependent. That's why I'm not in one. I don't make myself helpless. I just don't get into the relationship. Why would I do that? I don't want to have to look after another person. I'm looking after Nia right now. So I don't even entertain even the conversation of being in a relationship. So when I meet folks, they're like, oh, well, why are you single? I like being single. I like my time to myself. And I don't want to be responsible to another person. I don't want the responsibilities of a girlfriend. I don't want the responsibilities of a wife. I did that already. And I wasn't really happy in those two particular roles. Now I'm trying to figure out what role am I in, how I'm going to look after me, like I've been doing, and focus on what I'd like to do. Everything outside of that, I'm very selfish. Everything outside of that is just surface music. Nice to haves, but... And I'm not bad. I used to think I was bad at relationships. I'm not. I'm just not tolerant of certain behavior. And I don't believe in telling someone what to do, how to do it, anything like that. Really not into that. And not all men need help. Many are very independent, right? So I believe two people can exist in a relationship and get along very well and can figure out how to do life together. But that doesn't always mean, but you got to think about, what does that mean? Can you do it together, living in the same place? Or can you achieve the same goal and each one has their own life, live in their own place, and we can come together, we can go out, we can do it, but you got your own life, I got my own life, either we're committed or not. Like, that's a conversation. And what does that look like? There's a lot that goes to that, right? I'm not close to dating. I'm just very particular. And if I choose to date, because there's consequences to everything I do. You never know who you're going to fall in love with. You never know who you're going to get attached to. When you go to a job, you don't know how long you're going to be at that job. You don't know what the consequences of taking that job. You start a business. You don't know what the business is going to turn, how it's going to turn out. You have an idea, but you don't know until you're in it. And then you may decide, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in this. Now I'm stuck. Or, oh my God, this took off. This is wonderful. This is like the best thing ever. This is the worst nightmare. It's who you are when you get into the decisions that you make and how they manifest themselves. Well, who are you during that phase of manifestation? You won't know unless you trust the process. So you can see where your journey started by just a decision, just by a thought. And a simple thought can change your whole entire life. Good, bad, better, worse, I don't know. You get to decide that. No one gets to decide that for you. Which is why I say there's nothing outside of you. Everything is within. In a fucked up relationship, that's your choice. Don't have any money, that's your choice. Can't figure out how to get any money, that's your choice. Can't figure out how to have a loving relationship, that's your problem. What's holding you back? Your thoughts. And I'm an overthinker. But I don't mind being I'd rather be an overthinker than being in something, a job, a relationship, even with my own bullshit walking around, than me being completely, totally depressed and just not moving because I'm depressed. But if I keep active and keep trusting the process that every day is a journey and try to overcome some fears or try to get something accomplished, even if it's getting up for me personally and washing my dishes, taking a shower, brushing my teeth, doing my hair. I may not make my bed. Not absolutely necessary. But the rest of my place is clean and comfortable and inviting. I've created a very safe environment for myself. Some may see this as, well, you're here alone a lot and, you know, no. This is how I like it. And I can live my life and I'm comfortable with myself. But I'm older. It wasn't always like that. You know, it wasn't always like that. And I've learned to make it like that because no one's coming to save me. And I don't want to be saved. A lot of women want to be saved. A lot of men want to be saved. They want someone to come in and make their decisions for them and take the pressure off of them and ease it a little bit. Hell, one woman I ran into, and I get it. I really do. I'm not saying I don't have those thoughts. I get it. This one woman was like, yeah, I'm tired of being single. I'm going to find me a husband. I'm working at Walmart. And she came onto the counter, we got to talking, just from, you know, just chit-chatting. Normally, I just kind of chat up my customers, in a sense that they say something, and I might say something, and I'm like, yeah, you know, girl, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, very simple throughout the transaction, returning something. And She's like, yeah, I'm over this single life. I'm finding me a husband. I don't know where I'm going to find him, but before these years over, I have every intention on being married. I'm like, okay, I feel you on that. I can see how I could get like that sometimes. Right? Trust me, I do. And then I think about the consequences of how that might not work out for me. Grant, I live in a one-bedroom apartment. It's big enough for me to not feel crowded or enclosed. I got these wonderful tall ceilings. You can hear the echo. I got these large, just vaulted ceilings, and all my stuff is in its place, and it's not cluttered. There's no extra stuff in the background, and I don't have to share the space with someone. It's not big enough. I don't think it's big enough for me to share it with somebody else. Temporarily, maybe, but full time, I don't know. Like, everything of mine is in my place. And I can honestly say that came from me living with someone. I had a two-bedroom condo, and he was upset because he said, I have two rooms and he doesn't have any. That's because this is not your house. This is mine. This is my condo. This is not our shit. My name is on the lease. And I'm like that. You didn't help me find it. You're not really helping me pay for it. So you already got problems. We already got too many discussions about paying bills. And once I have one too many discussions about, put that in quotes, of paying bills, your time is, the clock is ticking. So when you're upset because you don't have an extra room, so sorry, not sorry. This is not your shit. If you would like an extra room, go get one of your own, which he tried to do on the sly. Because he left the brochure sitting in the car, and then we went out, and then it's like, oh, you're looking for an apartment? Yeah. Oh, okay, good for you. But you know what? It's brilliant idea. He goes, yeah, I think it's time for me. I think it is too. Because I want my own space. I agree. So do I. But his money was fucked up. So he couldn't get a place. So now he's got a whole, his shit's not, you've been living with me, your shit's not together. This is the argument we've been having. Your shit's not together. Mine is. It may not look like it, but I can go out and get me a place. You can't, because your shit is fucked up. Your money's fucked up. Again, you moved into my place. I didn't move into yours. That right there is a qualifier. And the time you're here, I told you the shit you need to do to get your shit together. And you still didn't do it. So you can't understand how come. And it's not for me. It's for you. You use the time to get your shit together. If y'all are living with people and you aren't getting your shit together, that's on you. Right? That's on you. You can't pay bills and your shit's not together and you can't figure out how to do it. That's on you. So that's why I say you have to trust your process, and that's trusting yourself to see a different situation. It may not necessarily be better or for worse to see things differently and how you contribute to your own life, how you show up in your life. That's your responsibility. That's not another person's responsibility for you to show up in your own life. And you only get one fucking shot. You only get one. Take the vacation and reset. Take the day off and get your shit together. People want to use their days off to sit around and do nothing and then complain about their lives. You took a day off, or you have a day off, and you're not making your situation better because you want to sit around, drink, watch the TV, chill. I know somebody like that. Their life is not going the way they want to, but they sit in front of the tablet. Now, I used to be that person, and I'm only speaking from experience. So I understand the whole life coaching and everybody getting online, sharing their experiences. I get it. But I used to be that person. I used to watch television. Television is kind of like my drug, right? I love old movies, right? I can go into another world. Until one day, especially when I was much younger and I didn't really watch old movies because they weren't available. We didn't have YouTube. It was a form of escapism, but I still got my shit done, right? So I've learned I'm watching people on television work. And that's when I recognize they're working and I'm watching them. So when I'm on YouTube, they're all posting and I'm watching them instead of me posting. Now, that doesn't mean I cut down 100% of my watching what's going on, but I do more. I try to make sure there's a nice balance. I took the day off. I could be sitting by the pool and I was like, nope, I want to get my post out. And I want to make sure that there's awareness for my business and for me. And I could sit by the pool and do it, but it's hot outside. I was trying to sit outside. I couldn't do it. But I'm like, if I'm trying to move myself to the next level of what my next level would be, I'm going to have to put in the time to do it. And I'm not doing it all day. At some point, I'm going to go mosey on over to the pool. I'm going to sit down, have a cocktail, and bring my ass home and finish up my night. I got a little list. I'm going to work through the list for the next 3 days. And I took today off because I have a different vision for my life. I'm already living some of that vision being in this beautiful place called Georgia. And Georgia changed my life. And I moved here on a whim. I was here 48 hours and decided this was the place to live. My son keeps telling me, my oldest, Mommy, you want to come back to California? I hated California. I didn't feel at home there. Here, I feel at home. Atlanta is my home. Georgia is my home. All of Georgia is my home. But I'm from New York. And every now and then, I got to remind myself, I am not from Georgia. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Long Island girl. Okay? They tell me, oh, we hear your accent. You're not from here. You sound like you're from the North. Yes, I'm from the North. I'm a New Yorker. So I'm leaning into that for myself to not forget that I'm not from the South. They do things differently here. I'm from, and the mindset is a little different. Everybody's a hustler here. I love that. I love that. New Yorkers, we're not hustlers. We get it. New Yorkers get it for real. Not to say they don't do it out here. I'm not taking anything away from my cousins. What I'm saying is that New York is cold, it's hard, it's vicious, it's evil, it's elitist. It'll spit you out just like that. And no regrets. If you can, they say, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere in this world. And that is, since I'm from there, that's very true. The rent alone, and that's because of the rent, because of the very, very high cost of living, because of the crazy laws, because of the streets, because of the attitude, because of the financial sector, because the money in this country is made in New York. The laws are made in California. The money is made in New York. No place else. It is the financial center of the world. California has their progressive laws that get spread all throughout the rest of the country. And they're the two biggest states. But New York, that little island, Manhattan, that's not, it's a jungle. And if you can't make it in New York, you can't make it anywhere. So coming from New York and going to California and living there and living in Virginia and living in Baltimore and a little bit in Maryland and living in a little bit in D.C. I've been to all the little black meccas except for, you know, Chicago and Houston. You know, none of that, because no offense to y'all out there, but that doesn't count. But on the East Coast here and then coming to Atlanta, this is a piece of cake to me. Right? This is a piece of cake to me. That's why I love Atlanta, because they think they got it. And they say, you know what? I hear some folks say, you know, down here in Atlanta, those New Yorkers don't know, you know, they can't come down here and start running things. Yeah, we're not even trying to, bruh. We're not trying to. That's not our goal. We've already ran things. Now we're taking what we ran and applying it to ourselves personally. And getting it, and so, and not the money. It is that mentality. Like, all right, well, you know, I see you, but okay, that's how y'all do it. All right. And again, that's where the reality changes, because half my high school lives down here. And when that reality changes and it's a mindset, then that mindset is you get to shapeshift yourself. You get to shapeshift yourself. You get to have your, what did my son say? My Doppelganger. If I say that right, when New York is me, and Georgia is my, in my opinion, my alter ego, where can be very patient. And that's why a lot of my customers say you're very patient. Yeah, I can be patient. I can afford to be patient, right? This is not my job. This is me doing something because I'm working on something else and I have bills to pay. But in the meantime, this is not my company. This is not my, you're the one returning something, not me. Because I told you I work at Walmart. I'm not returning my shit. I don't buy shit I got to return. I don't live that life. I'm not buying shit I have to return. I don't live that life where I have so much that I need the money back on my card. I bought it, it stays. You live a different life than I do. You spent too much money and you got to bring some shit back. Because you just figured out that you got to put the money back on your car because you didn't keep it. You had to try something on, you're buying clothes, and you had to bring it back, which means you couldn't afford it because you had to bring it back. A lot of people bring stuff back, they can't afford it. If you brought something back for cash, you need money. I don't understand people bring groceries back. You need the money. I don't need the money because I don't take anything out my cabinets and refrigerators, going through my house looking for shit to take back. I don't need the money. Now, if you genuinely bought something and it didn't work out for you, like a lot of people bring back gardening stuff and shrubs and things like that, that means they were fixing up their house and it didn't fit and they're bringing it back. So I can tell a difference between who needed it and who didn't. And that's how I see other realities of people, and it doesn't fit in my reality. And I don't want it to fit in my reality. And that's how I'm able to stay calm and passive and easygoing, because their realities coming back at me, and then I can see what's going on. And I'm like, all right, I'll never live that lifestyle. I never have, I never will. Not even in my purview. And I'm exposed to it every day. We're all exposed to other people's realities because they're projecting onto us. What are you projecting out? And is that what you want projected out? Or do you want to project out confidence, patience, don't fuck with me kind of attitude? Or, you know, I'm easygoing, but I'm not the one to really play around with. And, you know, your reality is who you are when you're in your home. And even then, that's your own projection, like I said. But you still have to trust the process. And to wrap up, that process is still you. And again, you don't like where you are. You don't like who you are. Then only you can change. Seek therapy. Get help. You talk to somebody. But most of all, look in that mirror, like I used to tell my sons growing up. Look in the mirror and all your problems are solved with the person in the mirror. And have a conversation with them, with that person in the mirror. Before you want to have a conversation with anybody else going forward, see where your role is at. Who are you? Who are you? And then trust that process to get to the other side of who you want to be. And that takes work. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it's really hard. So trust the process. Trust the process in your business and what you're bringing to your business. Are you bringing yourself to your business, or are you just casually examining your business through a lens of where you are not actively engaging and working towards what your dream might be? Or how you want to do your work, how you want to solve other people's problems, how you're going to show up, how you're going to provide value. Do you have systems in place to help support that? Do you have processes in place to support that? Do you have the financial means and stability or the ability to get stable so that you can support what it is that you want? That takes work. It does not happen overnight because you have to learn through the failure of what's not working. That's why they tell you fail fast so you can learn what's not working and make adjustments. And they're not tangible. It's not going to show up in your revenue yet. And once it does, you will find that you will have problems processing payments, processing returns, getting more clients, getting them to accept your price, showing your value, getting the consideration, hell, just getting paid. A lot of folks are working for free and don't even need to because they don't have any processes and systems in place to not get paid first and then do the work. I do the work, but I get paid up front. There's the advisory, paid up front. Courses, paid up front. Events, paid up front. There's no invoicing in my business. I do not invoice. I'm not waiting for my money. I want it right now, and I have processes and systems in place for that. You cannot get a return for my products because all sales are final. My products are digital. It says so on the site. So they can do a chargeback. They won't get it. They sure won't. I set that up because I know that you got to think about the other side of people and how they're going to not always be most ethical. And people are selfish. But if you're not a selfish person, you wouldn't know that. I've learned that people are selfish. That's how I learned to become much more selfish with myself. And that's okay, because now I've joined a very elite group of protecting myself. And self-preservation will probably be a video I do, another audio that I do. And how very important self-preservation is, particularly when you're running a business. So trust the process. Trust yourself. I'll leave it at that. I'll catch you on the next one.